player 2 has joined the game.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 334 of the Two-Player Co-op Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts here, Kevin, along with my remote brother from my mother, Sean.
How are we doing? I just looked ahead in the rundown, and I'm very intrigued about something.
Good. Good. You should be. But if this is the first time you're ever seeing, hearing, or listening to this podcast, which is brought to you by Derek Bamford, this is the Two-Player Co-op Podcast, where just about every week, two brothers get together to tell you everything you need to know about in the world of video games. If you like that, make sure you like the video, subscribe, share it with your friends, family, and everyone in betwixt. If you only listen on audio services, that's cool too. Just leave us a five-star review, thumbs up, or whatever your service allows. The funny thing, I'm thinking back to happier times at Kind of Funny. When I can remember at one point on a Game Over Greggy show or something, they were talking about why Greg is the way Greg is and stuff. And he was saying that like all those kind of intros and stuff, like it just becomes second nature for him. And I'm like, I don't know how, but now I'm like, I get it. Yeah, I can sometimes I go off the rails and I just start
unless we take
crazy.
A few weeks off.
Yeah. And then I'm like, dash block. If you really like us, you can go to patreon.com/two-player-co-op, where we have a lot of different benefits. The most popular tier is the $5 producer tier, which gets you the podcast live one day early, a bonus episode every month, and you can watch us record the podcast live on YouTube like we're doing right now, even when we are remote. Some of our patrons deserve a shout out, just like the aforementioned Derek Bamford and John Tingley, who has a bar named after him. Also, our affiliates, James Solar, make sure you check out James Games and more on YouTube, Sarah Solar, and Mom, as well as our producers, Steve Appleton, Aunt Sue, Dustin Downs, and Chris Peralta. Also, make sure you check out PS Rewind on YouTube as well. If you like cool t-shirts and the like, you can always go to teespring.com/stores/two-player-co-op. You can do the thing, but normally when it's this, I don't even put them in because it's just weird. Because it's just, yeah. Sean, how you been?
Good. I found out something today, and I wanted to text you.
You're adopted?
And then I thought, nope, I'm going to wait till the podcast.
Okay. Hit me.
I'm gonna make you feel old.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I feel old, too. On this day that we're recording.
Oh, it's National Video Games Day.
Oh, very
happy National Video Games Day.
Something. On this day, 17 years ago, I think 16 or 17. I think it was 17 years ago. Welcome to the Black Parade came out.
Are you serious?
17 years old. I would have thought 10 or 12. Like without like actually thinking when did it probably come out and doing the math, like in my mind, I don't know. 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, 17 years.
Yeah. If now that I think about it, 2006 makes sense. It just doesn't seem like 2006 was 17 years ago.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If I would have thought about it, I would probably have said like, yeah, 05, 06, somewhere on there.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that all of a sudden has been 17 years.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
No problem.
No problem. that's probably I wouldn't say it's top five, but that's one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time. I think it's
top 10. Yeah,
it's so perfectly done. Like that podcast that Dad used to listen to,
Strong Songs.
Yeah, that, like, you should do this song. It's so expertly crafted. The whole album is amazing, and the concept album or whatever they call it, with the story that goes through the whole thing. The lyrics are awesome. The different movements, as it were, I think they're called in the music. Or
that's
whatever.
One that I would like to attempt in karaoke form, but yeah. I don't know.
Well, you can that actually sing. I can't.
Yeah, that's true. What's up, John?
Carry on. See, I can't even hit the falsetto anymore. My voice always cracks. John Tingley, what is up? John, do you work at a distillery? Is my question from looking at the Discord. And now we will wait for YouTube to catch up. Sean, anything else you want to talk about, or do we want to get right into what we've been playing, which is a lot, at least for me?
Not for me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I got anything else to talk about.
All right, well, let's talk off.
Wait, do we want to talk about fantasy football?
Yeah, I guess. God almighty.
So I had a good week, but I got worried because Kelsey, my number one pick, injured, of course. First time he's missed a game in like 7 years, I think. I'm like, oh, well, of course, that makes sense as soon as I draft him.
Mm-hmm.
A little worried. Ayuk came through strong for me. Diggs came through strong. I was worried about that. But not a whole... Oh, no, Cousins ended up having a decent game. He was -2 for me at one point when he had like 50 yards and 2 lost fumbles, but ended up having a decent game. But yeah, I pulled it out in the end. I was pretty happy. How did your week go?
Shut up. So here's the thing that sucks for me is I was not having a good week. I am still very happy with my team. Hold on. Let me just type this in. 9-0-6-6-7-0. I was very happy with my team. I remain happy with my team. But I had some things working against me, like Jamar Chase playing in a monsoon and having 39 yards receiving. Also going against the Dallas defense, who destroyed our Giants, and pretty much just like if this was the Premier League, they would be relegated after that game, I'm pretty sure. And at the end of the day, it looked like I had won 81-78, and I was very happy. Then come yesterday morning, I pull it up just to make sure, because we had some weird stuff going on because there's something we don't give scores for. Basically, if you block a field goal or a punt in our league, you get 3 points for that. However, if you take that back for a touchdown, we didn't have anything to actually score that. So that was my first lucky thing that happened. But then I go and I check in the morning, and instead of me being up 81-78, I'm now down 80-79. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? Well, turns out they had missed, in counting for the defense on the Cowboys, I think they had missed one of Danny Dimes' turnovers, which I get it. It's hard to
There's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah. They had given me originally, they gave San Francisco a fumble recovered that never happened. They recovered their own fumble, but they did not recover one that Pittsburgh fumbled. So because of that, I lost 2 points. He gained 2 points. I lost by one friggin' point. And I'm so... I will say I was not as pissed as I thought I would be. What was going to piss me off was if they gave him credit for that touchdown, even though we don't have anything to code it for. And Terry said he's going to add that in now going forward. I'm like, yeah, that's probably... It'll probably never happen again, but it's good to have just in case. But normally I would just be like...
Part of it was... Sunday night after that happened, the blocked field goal, I think you had pretty much written off. You're like, well, I'm done. I mean, I'm going to lose now because of the Dallas defense and blah, blah, blah. So I think you had already just kind of accepted your fate. And then you hung on by a thread through that game, or so you thought, only to then have it, taken back from you.
Sounded like you said Nabbit. And it made me think of Mario Wonder.
From Mario, yeah.
But yeah, I'm not like too just, I quit. I'm not doing fantasy anymore, yada, yada, yada. Like, I'm not doing anything like that. I think it's because I still really like my team.
Well, yeah. See, I think I like my team. The only thing, it's part of it when you go zero RB. I've got 4 running backs that are all projected for like 9 or 10 points. Not great, but good. But I'm like, I don't know who to play. Yeah. I think I'm going to stick with Jameer and Sanders again. But like Algier went off last week, but I don't think I can count on him to do that every week. That'll probably continue to go down as Bijan ramps up.
Exactly.
And then Rashad White, he kind of sucked last week, but everybody's still really high on him. And like the usage was there, but he didn't do anything with it. So I'm like, oh, I don't really want to start him. So I'm going to stick with the same two. But Jameer didn't exactly... I mean, he did a lot with the little that he got, and I'm hoping, you know, he'll just get more and more opportunities every week. But I'm like, I have 4, according to their projections, pretty much equal running backs. I'm like, I don't know which 2 to go with, but
I'll stick with the same 2, I guess. I think I'm going to stick with Pacheco and Javonte, because Javonte actually had a decent game. I'm to the point now with how good my receiver should be. If I can get five or six out of each running back every week, I'm happy. If I get more than that, I'm ecstatic. And they've got them projected for like 6 and 7 points. But then on my bench, somehow they've got Najee Harris projected for 8.8 points. I'm like, dude didn't do nothing last week. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't start him. But I don't know. I don't know. Are you even trying to do anything on the waiver wire? I've got a couple in, but I really don't.
I put a couple, but I'm like, I think I'm like 11th of 12 for picks. So I'm like, I'm not going to get anybody. I'm like,
I'm fourth, but
I put in a couple anyway, but
I don't know. I put in three claims and I'm thinking just fourth.
Like, I feel like I'm obligated to.
Yeah.
I'm
like, it's the first waiver wire.
I don't think I'm going to get anybody that I claimed, and B, I don't know that they really improve my team, but I'm like, they're better than people I'm not using. So I could get them and then just not use them. I feel like that's my waiver wires almost every week. I'm like, this guy that I probably won't play is better than another guy that I probably won't play. So I might as well get that guy. But I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But I would imagine once Kelsey comes back. So just so everybody's aware that even cares about this. In our league, it's a little bit different. We don't have a designated tight end position. You don't have to play a tight end. We kind of just group wide receivers and tight ends together. You could play three tight ends if you wanted. You can play three wide receivers, whatever. So once Kelsey's back, which hopefully is this week, I like Ayuk, Diggs, and Kelsey to be pretty consistent week in, week out. So yeah, I'm kind of with you where I'm like, if the running backs can get me six to 8 points, like double digits, I think is going to be huge for any of my running backs.
Oh yeah, so me too.
6 to 8 points, I'm happy with that. I think I have to play, by the way, we play next week. Not this week, but next week.
Okay.
I think I have to play Fields this week because the Bears play the Bucks and Cousins and the Vikings play the Eagles, which A, I don't like that, and B, it's prime time, which I feel like isn't Cousins pretty notorious for always sucking in prime time? So
yes, he's horrible at
prime. I guess I'm going to play Fields this week. I don't like it. Oh. I mean, I drafted him. I drafted him before Cousins, but I'm like, he didn't really impress me in that first week. But maybe Green Bay has a really good defense that I'm not aware of. I don't know. But
didn't Cousins just didn't he just throw for like 400 freaking yards?
Well, he did, but it was against the Bucks. Who are now horrible. Fields is playing again. So I'm like, so maybe the Bucks suck. So maybe Fields will also have a good game. So
I missed that part. Yep.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm going with Fields. I don't feel great about it. So I'll watch Cousins throw for 400 and 5 touchdowns Thursday night, probably. But
John, I knew that's where you work. I don't know why. It was just seeing the distillery made me go, that's weird. But yeah, if we had a bottle of whiskey named Two Player Co-op, that would be awesome. So yeah, fantasy football. I don't hate it as much as I thought I would after losing week one. But if I lose again next week, then the rails, I'm going to start to go off of them, I would say.
I think the rails, I will start to go off of them.
Yeah.
Nailed it. I think going back to last year,
mm-hmm.
I think I've won 4 games in a row, which I'm pretty sure is a record for me. I feel like almost every year I'm like win, lose, win, lose, lose, win, win, lose, win, lose, lose, win. I'm just like boom, 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 boom. Like I finished 500, give or take a game, pretty much every year. So I'm at like 4 games in a row, not going back to last year, which has to be a record for me.
Good for you. I think I've probably lost 10 in a row at this point. My team was so garbage. Oh, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. All right, Sean. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Let's talk about beating Sea of Stars.
Uh-oh.
What'd you do? Yeah.
Am I here?
Okay. Yeah. What'd you do?
I've got a thing on my Mac I forgot about. If I move, which I didn't even mean to do, but if I move the mouse all the way to the upper right corner, yeah, it like goes to like screensaver. Stupid. Anyway.
So I beat Sea of Stars. Now, I just want to say, first off,
now I will say I have not yet beaten it. I know your rundown says I have not because I haven't gotten to go back to it. But
okay, I beat it in 25 hours,
And we won't spoil anything.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Spoilers. No spoilers.
He's Spider-Man. This game is fantastic, and if this was not a year where Final Fantasy 16 and Zelda came out, I would probably say this is my game of the year. I am so shocked because, again, if you've been listening, I've never played a turn-based game for more than 30 minutes. I didn't get it. I wasn't good. It just never clicked. It kind of reminds me, Sean, of when I finally, like, I tried playing Symphony a few times and I could never get into it. And then one time I got it, I tried it again. I stuck with it a little bit longer than I had before. I found the Basilard. It was a really quick attacking weapon. I was like, okay, now I get it. And then I went on to beat it and everything. This game is amazing. It makes me want to play turn-based RPGs. I'll talk about that here in a little bit. But yeah, I beat it. I can't get over how good the combat system is in this. You can speak to that more than I can because you actually have experience. But I love the extra attack you can get, like Super Mario RPG. I love the blocking that you can do if you time it right, which is tough sometimes. I love being able to switch out your party members. If you got somebody down to like 2 HP and it's their turn, I can be like, oh God, put in that guy instead. Put in that guy. Okay. Okay.
That's nice about that, which is different from most games, I think. So some games don't let you switch party members on the fly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like most of the games that do, it's at least like Final Fantasy X, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Maybe it's not most games, but I know there's definitely a lot of turn-based games I've played where it basically uses your turn if you want to swap your player out for somebody else. And in this, you can be like, ooh, I got to hit him for poison. Let me go ahead and swap this guy in. And exactly. Then you attack. It doesn't, like, you don't lose your turn by swapping for them. So that's nice.
It's just so good. It's beautiful. The one of the things I really like is there's two areas that you go to that are directly from the messenger, which made me so happy. The music was not exactly the same, but you could hear the messenger in it. And it was, I just had
some of it was pretty much the
damn
same.
Near. Yeah. The burn out. It makes me want to go play the messenger again, honestly.
I'm guessing you got the platinum in that.
The messenger. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I bought it twice. I bought it on Switch when it first came out and then bought it on PlayStation a year later when it came out. That's how much I love that game.
I bought it. It might be on PS Plus. I don't think I ever bought it on PlayStation, but I did end up getting it on PlayStation and got the Platinum. But yeah.
I almost want to buy, since I got Sea of Stars as part of PS Plus Extra, part of me just wants to buy this on Switch and not even play it, just to give them the money. I mean, I know they got money from PS Plus and stuff, but I'm like, this studio, especially since Yacht Club hasn't put anything out in forever that I care about, other than publishing, what was the hard game? Cyber Shadow. Hopefully Mina the Hollower is coming out next year. I think this might be my favorite retro studio right now. They're so freaking good.
They're climbing up quick.
The story in this is great. Obviously, I won't spoil anything, especially since Sean hasn't beaten it. There's
one thing I will say, and it's not a spoiler. If you've been paying attention at all, you know, if you really don't want any spoilers, skip ahead a minute. But if you've been paying attention at all, you know that, I'll give you a couple seconds, this game, not only is it by the same people that made The Messenger, it's like Kevin said, it's in the same world. You go to some of those locations. Yeah. There's a couple other things that I think are tied to The Messenger. And I think that's really cool. I kind of, unless something happens at the end, I don't know. I kind of wish they would have leaned into it a little bit more than they did. And just, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen two games that were seemingly, so A, I wish they had leaned into it a little more. B, I wish they wouldn't have mentioned that it was in the same universe, because I think there would have been some parts that would have been like, oh my God, like, not that I was really expecting it, but it was less of a shock when you kind of knew going in that it was the same world, whatever. But it kind of reminded me of the movie Split. That you're watching this movie and you're not really thinking anything of it. And then you get to post credits and you're like, oh my God, this is in the same world as Unbreakable. And it's like, oh, and I'm like, that's kind of what this made me feel like, even though, again, knowing going into it that, I mean, they said it was, but I didn't really know what they were going to do with that. But once you actually see what they were doing, I thought it was very cool. And I wish, I don't know that anybody has ever done, they've done like prequels and sequels and all that, but I don't know that you've ever had two games that tied into one another that are just completely different like, genres. Yep. Yeah. So I thought that was very cool.
I love when I got to the water area, that was beautiful. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing a water temple. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad though. Going to your point right there, I'll just say two words: time shards.
Yes.
When that happened, I was like, oh my God, this is so friggin' cool. And you know who, I won't say it on here, but do you know who the archivist is?
Yes.
Like, I don't think it's ever spelled out, but it's quite obvious. Well, that's
what
I
was
going to,
that was
right?
One of the things I'm talking about where I'm like, I think this is what they're trying to get at, but yeah, I haven't looked on, you know, I haven't Wikipedia'd it or anything exactly to confirm, but yeah.
I think it has to be. It just has to be.
Yeah.
One thing I did like, it does do the split the party up thing that you said so many RPGs do, but usually they do it bad.
But it was quick.
It was quick, yeah. And I liked it in this because it's like, okay, you're forcing me to play as this character who I'm never really the lead as, you know, but you're using them in every turn, so whatever. But I mean, in every battle. But it was cool to have them leading the way, get some other character interactions between, you know, two people that normally obviously aren't by themselves. When you finally get another attack, finally. No, that's not a spoiler. When you get the ultimate attack, finally,
yeah,
for your two main ones, I was like, the first time I did it, I was like, oh my God, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah, those are awesome.
You find out why it's called Sea of Stars. When after that,
I love how last week I'm like, why do they call this game Sea of Stars?
I know.
Well, they just call it Sea of Water. All you're doing is sailing around, and then I'm like, oh, okay.
That was so freaking cool. There are so many times in this game where I'm just like, holy crap, this is so cool. The desert area felt like it was like the Lost Woods, you know. Getting up to the final boss was super cool. The final boss fight is super cool. Everything from then on, it's all just done so well and so cool. And I don't want to spoil anything, but man, I want Sean to beat it so we can talk about it.
I'll beat it probably tomorrow because Thursday night's football. I should beat it tomorrow. So I'm at the point where it's like, hey, you can go beat the game now. Is it like an hour and a half? If I just go and do that?
I can't remember. Have you done anything since I told you? Probably not. So yeah, probably about
story
an hour
related.
Okay. Did you see the Sony shout out in the credits? I don't think I did, but I was flying through the credits. You can skim. There's like a fast forward button.
So once I got to that part where it's like, hey, you can go beat the game now. I'm like, I don't want to. I want to start now that I've got this new power. I'm like, I want to go explore.
Yep.
So I started doing that. And then I'm like, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I want to finally go look at the trophy list and not waste my time doing things that I don't have to. I don't think I'm going to get this platinum now, and I hate it. Although there's only one trophy, and I think it's the one you were talking about where you said there was one that you have to go into New Game Plus. But to me, it seems like you have to go pretty far into New Game Plus.
You got to do something with 10 bosses or something.
There's a trophy for beating, I think it's 8, maybe 10, X number of bosses, a decent number, at least 8. Of bosses with this one relic turned on that you only get basically at the end of the game. So you have to do New Game Plus to be able to use that in the boss fights. And that relic more or less says from what I read, I think it's like you have almost no HP. But I think if you do your attack and you get the timer right on it, it does like double damage. And I think if you time your blocks right, you take no damage. So it really like stresses the timing of your attacks and your blocks, but you have like no health, so you almost can't make any mistakes, basically, I think is what it boils down to. But I'm like, 8-10 bosses, whatever it is, I'm like, that's a pretty good way into the game. Jeez, I think. And not mentioning just how difficult it sounds, and you can turn it on and off, so you only have to turn it on for the boss fights. And if it's truly new game plus, like, do all the enemies and the bosses scale up? Are they only as powerful as they were the first time? If so, I could probably destroy them pretty easily since I'm all powered up. But I'm like, once I saw that trophy, I'm like, I lost all motivation to keep going and doing all the other bonus stuff. I did a lot of it. I did all the shrines or whatever. Mm-hmm. I did a couple pretty long side quests. There's probably some others that I haven't done yet, and I loved it. I mean, this game, especially once I got to that optional end game stuff, I feel like that's when it really felt like a true, like, turn-based RPG game. All these like optional things you can do, and it's not limited to, you know, turn-based RPGs by any means, but like, I'm like, this is what I want. This is so much fun. And then, yeah, once I saw that trophy, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do that. So how much time do I really want to spend doing all this other optional stuff? And I think at this point I've done the majority of it. Now it's like, I'm trying to think, oh, there's like the quiz master. Did you ever find him? I haven't found him.
I haven't found him. I was picking up quiz notes and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what to do.
So I
got to
do all that stuff. There's a lot of just like collectathon stuff. I think I'm up to like maybe 35 or 40 of those shells, but I think there's 60 of them. So I've missed a good number of those, but I'm like, I could always look up in a guide where to find it. I'm like, none of this seems that bad, but that thing about beating all the bosses, I'm just like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. But well, next time I play, I'm just going to beat it, and then we'll see. I would consider, I want to get the platinum, like, because I love this game. I've come around on this game a lot since last week. I was kind of, last week, I think I said it was like I don't remember what I said, 7, 7.5.
Yeah.
It's easily a 9. I wouldn't give it a 10, but it's a 9, maybe 9.5. I like it a lot. They did a lot of cool stuff since we last spoke about it. And who knows, the way the game ends, it may push it up to a 10. I don't know, but yeah, I'll probably beat it tomorrow, and then we can talk offline about it. I don't know if you want to do a spoiler cast or anything, but I can give spoiler free thoughts next week. But yeah, I'll definitely have beaten it by then.
So I looked up the trophy. It is 10 bosses. What they're saying, though, is you just need to turn it on right before you fight the boss. So you don't have
to. Yeah, you only have to have it on for the bosses. Yeah.
The 10th boss in New Game Plus is the Leaf Monster.
I remember that name. Oh, that's pretty far.
Well, but he said if you just like really make a beeline for it, go as quick as you can. It took this guy about 5 hours to get there, and he was still just messing around a little bit. So I don't know.
I may do it. I don't think anything else is coming until
October. And then like it gets
Spider-Man.
Crazy.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Mario. So I've got time. We'll see.
The thing that, like you were saying, when you get to the post game and you get that new method of traversing the map, that's what made me like, you know what, maybe I will platinum this. But then I saw that trophy, and I was like, I don't really want to find 60 conch, rainbow conch shells or conch, or however you say that word.
I say conch. I don't like people to say conch.
You're just trying to be fancy. But yeah, I freaking love this game. And yeah, John said he laughed last week when you said, why don't they call it the Sea of Water?
Why do they call it Ovaltine?
Yeah. It should be Roundtine. But yeah, that's all I got for Sea of Stars. You got anything else?
Okay.
Whoa, go.
So yeah, that scene was epic. And I don't want to spoil anything, but for a minute there, I was like, oh my God, are they going to do what I think they're going to do, a la Messenger?
Yep. I thought the same
thing.
And then
they didn't. Like, I thought maybe that was the thing that Gerard or whoever was saying that was like, oh. And once I saw that, I'm like, oh my God. And then they didn't do it. I was like, well, and maybe, I don't know, maybe that is the thing. Maybe something like that happens at some point. It's not. Okay. So I got my hopes up for a little bit there when I saw that, but it was cool nonetheless.
It was awesome. And the way it, like, the graphics kind of transitioned, that's why I was just like, oh my God, is this happening? Like, are we going up a generation? Like, but then what happens after it? I completely forgot that I thought that, and the rest of it was so cool.
It was still cool.
Yeah. It was awesome. Okay. So have you played anything else?
There's some things in the game that I wasn't sure if I, like jokes maybe, that I wasn't sure if they were going over my head. So I know the pirate captain, whatever.
Cliche. Her name was,
yeah, Captain Cliche. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. And then one of the giant things names was Yeet.
Yeah.
The other thing was X-T-O-L. I'm like,
X-Tall, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, is that a joke that I don't, like, one of them's named Yeet. I'm like, okay, well, the other one's probably a joke too. But I'm like, if it is, I don't get it. I wasn't sure what X-Tall. I'm like, I don't know how this is supposed to be pronounced, but if it's a joke, I'm not getting it.
I don't get it either. When I look it up, it just brings up Sea of Stars, so I don't think it's a joke.
The last party member you get, do you know how to say his name? Do you even remember his name?
I do, because I see him right here, Rishon. It's when I met.
No,
Rishon,
well, yeah, okay.
When I met Rishon,
that made me laugh, but no, not him. The pink guy.
Yeah,
but yeah, that made me think of Rishon too.
Yeah, I was
that's
like,
what I thought.
Is it not that?
At least I don't think it is, because did you ever use his ultimate, his limit break, whatever you want to call it?
I don't think I did.
It was one of the better ones. It's called, like, what pops up at the top, like the actual name of it. It says Altered
B. Oh, I did do that. Right.
ST.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, I guess his name is supposed to be Beast.
I did do that.
But yeah,
that's right.
I thought at first his name was just Bzzzt too. But yeah, I'm guessing that means his name's supposed to be Beast.
I get it. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's all I got. You got anything else, bud? Oh, and wait, no, I forgot to say this. 250,000 sales they're now up to, which was their target for 1 year. And this game's been out for like two weeks now. Not
what
to mention
was it last week, just 100,000 or something.
Yeah, so more than doubled. Also, not only did they get money from PS Plus and Game Pass, I forgot they kickstarted this game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I forgot that until they were talking about that on Sacred Symbols. I was like, oh my God, I forgot they did that. That's right. I don't think they'll ever have to kickstart another game, because I don't know how many copies the Messenger sold, but I feel like this may pass it, or it may have already passed it. But yeah.
I just thought of another funny thing. When you, I guess it's the fourth of the, like, giants that you meet that are like more or less the fast travel of the game, and you see them. I don't remember how it all plays out, but somebody basically says, you know, well, what's your name? And the thing, the giant, whatever, says, Hunty. And they're like,
yes.
Oh, okay. It's like, like, okay, well, I guess I know what's about to happen.
I know what's going to happen here. That's like me naming my horse Horsey. Or a dentist named Crentis. Oh, God. But yeah, Sea of Stars is amazing. If you like turn-based RPGs, you got to try it. Even if you don't like them like me, or you didn't think you liked them, and especially if you like The Messenger, play this game. It's awesome.
Yes.
But I liked it so much that I went onto my Xbox Game Pass and downloaded Chained Echoes, because I've heard a lot of good things about this. I've only played it for about an hour or so, but I really like it. One of the things I like about it, Sean, after every battle, you get your HP back.
Really?
Very
just
nice.
Just by, like, by default?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, they don't have any extra, like, attacks or blocks or anything like that, so I'm definitely having to use more strategery in this so far.
Yeah.
Beautiful pixel art, kind of set in this future world with, like, these flying robot suits. You play as multiple different characters. Like I said, I've only been playing it for about an hour, and I've played as, like, three different characters, I think. I like the battle system. What's cool, you've got your party of... one, two, three, I think. And then sometimes, actually, sometimes it's two, three, four. I think I've had up to four in my party. Usually you're fighting multiple other people. You up in the top right, it says next, and it shows like the complete order of like me. Like if they've got two people, it'll be like me, them, me, them. You know what I mean? Like it shows you who's going next and everything.
See, that's how Final Fantasy X was. And I don't think I've ever seen another game do that, but I love it. And it changes based on like, if you just attack, it's probably not going to change. But if you do like, you know, super move or whatever, it'll be like, hey, instead of going here, you're going to go down here. That enemy is going to get two chances, you know, so it changes and it shows you a preview. Like if you do this, this is what the next moves are going to be. And if you do this, that's what the next moves are going to be. So that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. And you got, so you can do regular attacks and then you've got like, everybody starts with one special attack. And I think they use this technique points. It's just magic basically. Unless magic ends up being a thing later in the game. But so you've got your HP bar and you've got your TP bar. I'm like, and you know, they've, and I've seen, like, I ran up against this one enemy, this little doofy looking thing. And then he's like, I attack. And then it's like, okay, this little guy used evade. I'm like, okay, whatever. That'll last one time. And I go, hi-ya. And he goes, whoo. I'm like, damn it. So I kept trying to do it. I was like, this has got to wear off. And then I finally was like, wait a minute. One of my people has like a, what was it called? Some kind of like remove. So I did that. And then I was able to beat him in like two hits. I was like, okay. So that wasn't, and it tells you like, if
was
you
it
use
dispel.
No, it was something.
Asuna. No, that never meant that's something else.
But it's like, it shows you like, if you use a buff, it'll show you like how many more turns you have using that, like, you know, attack up or defense up or whatever. Oh, the other thing that's cool, it's got this overdrive gauge, which is really cool. So there's a gauge you use that has, like it goes from yellow to green to a little bit of red at the end. And basically everything you do affects that gauge. What you want is to stay in the green zone. That's when you're in quote unquote overdrive. What happens there is your attacks do a little bit more damage and you do more defense. The only problem is it's a balancing act because as you use attacks, it goes up. If it goes up into the red, not only do your attacks do less damage, your defense goes down as well. So what you got to do then is you might want to just take a couple of turns and defend while you can get it back down into the green, then come out with a hard attack. It's like a metagame. And I can't believe me of all people am saying that I like this. I don't know what's happened to me. I don't even know who I am anymore. It's really cool the way you do it. I just really like this game so far. Story.
I think
cool.
You are going to love Mario RPG. I mean, I can't wait for it. And now I know, knowing that you're going to love it too, because now you're like,
you've
been primed to that kind of game. Now, if you can play these two, it already sounds like Chained Echoes is probably more,
it's more complicated
than than Mario RPG would be. So yeah, you're going to love that game.
I can't wait. And I can't, like I said, I can't believe what's happened to me. Now I do kind of want to get the, I'm thinking I probably need to get at some point the Pixel Remaster, at least of 6.
You also need, it's probably on the Pi. You need to give Chrono Trigger a try.
No, I want to, but the only reason I haven't
it's
pulled
definitely
out.
It's definitely harder. Okay. Like it's, I feel like it's not bad in the beginning, and I feel like by the time, it's kind of a long game.
Yeah.
And there's definitely parts where the difficulty ramps up, but you can do save states and stuff. So if you do that, I think you could probably get by, but like, you don't get your health back after every battle. Most games you don't. I'm kind of shocked you doing this, but even if you never beat it, just experience it. I think it starts very strong. It's an awesome game throughout, but like, I think you have to at least experience it to know what all the hype is about.
Okay, yeah, so I am seeing that this is what I thought would happen was true. Oh no, that's Chrono Cross Remaster. Totally. Okay, there was a Chrono Cross Remaster that was in the Nvidia leak, but I've seen rumors that a Chrono Trigger remake is also supposedly maybe in the works, but I can't just sit there and wait forever for that to appear or not appear. But I just can't believe I'm all in now. I'm so happy. I can't believe it. Chained Echoes. I don't know that I'm going to see it all the way through.
Yeah.
But I'm really liking it so far. And that's one that if I were you, like, I think you would definitely like this game. Actually, next time you come over, you can try it and just try to get a feel for it. But then I would just, you know, add it to your wish list on PlayStation. And that might be one, since it's on Game Pass, it might come to PS Plus at some point soon also. But yeah, it's one of those. I would just put it on your wish list so you know. Oh, actually, they said they're starting a sale tomorrow. I wonder if it's on there. But so you get notified when it goes on sale and stuff. But I think you would love this game.
When did it come out? Like, how old is it?
December, I think. Maybe November.
It's not even a year old.
No, it was right at the end of last year.
Okay. I thought maybe it was like 2 or 3 years old.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, it's awesome. And then I also played a little game called Starfield. I don't know. It's this little thing that, you know, it's awesome on Xbox because they didn't have to build it on PlayStation as well and yada, yada, yada. Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6 are great games. I've heard that 4 and 6 are the best. But I almost think if I'm going to play
6... I think 6 is by far the best, but maybe that's one of those things that, like, there's people out there that are like, oh, you like 6? Oh, you really need to play 4. Like,
the prevailing wisdom
is 6 is like one of the best games ever. Supposedly.
Yeah.
I like it. I've never finished it. I don't know. I think Chrono Trigger is hands down better. But
okay. There's also people that think Metal Gear Solid 4 is the best Metal Gear game. So,
yeah.
What are you going to do? But yeah, so Starfield. So, again, my kids no longer use my Series S, so I brought it back downstairs. I was like, oh, what the hell? I've got Game Pass for some reason. I might as well just play this game. And I don't get it. I just don't get it. I probably played 3 or 4 hours. I know it gets good after 8 or whatever. This game, first off, the having conversations with people in this is just the weirdest thing ever, because it's just like these, I think this is how other Bethesda games are, but it just goes, yeah, and they're like, and then I saw this thing online about why somebody was explaining why the characters look so terrifying when they smile. It's like in the face models, they forgot to use like one muscle up here that just makes like, instead of being like, hey, they're just like, it's something. It's so weird. So it starts out, you're a miner, not a small person, not a young person. You're a miner, E-R. And you are going on this expedition to mine stuff, and you find something and you touch it and it's like, whoa, Bart, and you get knocked out. And then you wake up and they're like, man, what happened? And you've got your dialogue options.
What did you
stuff.
Choose for your gender?
I was a he, him. Do you want me to go on a yelling rant? That guy has lost his mind. Well, that is true. So there's the character creator. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it. You can't choose your dong size like you can in Cyberpunk. Oh, I forgot about Cyberpunk. I need to go back and play that too. God. And you can change like your traits that you start as and blah, blah, blah. It's cool. But anyway, so you get knocked out when you touch this thing that you just mined. You wake up and you're like, we got to give this to this guy. And then you go out there and you finally do some combat. And the combat's okay. It's not great. One of the things I realized I'm doing this in this game that apparently you are not supposed to do in Bethesda games is I pick up everything. Like, I've always heard about the physics engine and everything in this. I get it. Like, if you see like an amiibo there, you can shoot it and it's going to go flying, like whatever. There's everything. Like, you see a cup and it's like, do you want to take this? I'm like, yeah, I'll take this. I'm taking everything. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're encumbered. When you run now, your oxygen goes really quickly. So you've got oxygen, which is,
you have to hold L2 and R2.
No, Death Stranding's better than this game. Trust me. But then it's like, okay, so apparently what you're supposed to do in Bethesda games is not grab everything, even though they let you grab everything. Also, I grabbed like 8 guns or something. I've got all these different guns. The, like I said, the combat's okay. One of the things I do like about this is you can play it in first person or you can play it in third person. What I've been doing was when I was walking around the world, I would go into third person. And you can either do like the God of War camera that's like right here over your shoulder, or the other camera, which backs it out a little bit. And I like that. But I did find when I was doing combat, the few times I actually had something to fight, I liked it better in first person. There's this lock picking mechanic where you're going through this, this like outpost, and you get these 3 lock picks, and then there's a safe right next to it. And it's like, oh, here's a novice lock. I'm like, okay, cool. And it's like, there's these 3 locks you see that are circles with holes in different places, and you've got the keys. And I'm like, okay, you twist it around and like click X. And I was like, okay, that was easy. But then I get to the second one and none of my keys work. They don't fit this. So I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Okay, go back, use a different key to make that do that. And it's like, well, you lost that key. I'm like, what the hell is happening? Long story short, I couldn't get into the safe. A novice lock, I couldn't get through it. So that's awesome. Space combat is tough. I started to get the hang of it. There are so many controls on your ship. When you can actually pilot the ship and you're not just going through menus, which I'll talk about that, there's so many, like, you and it is kind of cool that you set like your engine power, your shield power, your lasers power, your thrust, your everything. You only have so many points that you can assign to all these different power levels. And you get to one part where you're supposed to sneak past this other ship to go touch something or whatever. So I put everything powered down and I'm just like, I'm like, it's like 2,000 meters away and I'm going like 2 miles an hour to get there. I'm like, well, this is going to take a while. So that's cool. There are so many loading screens in this game. It is insane.
I was going to ask if it was as bad as what people were saying.
There is nothing about this game that's seamless. This game is, okay, you're in the ship and you're going to go dock with another ship or a little space station that's floating there or something. Okay. First off, it's hard to dock because I'm like, well, I got to get close enough to it. So I like give it some gas. And then it was like me when I was driving the boat that one time. And I was like, and then so I ran into the ship. And I'm like, no, 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 stop, stop, stop. Okay, power down, turn it this way. Finally, you dock. Finally get it to dock. Load. All right. Now you're in there. You can walk around. And then it's like, here's a door. Okay, go in here, whatever. If you go into a building, you open a door to go into a building. Load. You go back out of that building. Load. You go into space. Load. You set the planet that you want to go to. Load. Once you're at the planet and you're hovering above it and you want to push X to land, load. Like, and that's the, usually the, I think those are the worst ones I had, is when you're landing. It's a pretty long load time. I mean, long in back in the day, it would have seemed short, but we're used to, you know, current gen now for almost 3 years. It's long load times. It's not great. The whole space travel thing isn't really travel. It's just like, okay, I get a mission and I can go in the menu. Also, simple things like just putting on a helmet or a spacesuit, it doesn't really tell you how to do it. It doesn't tell you how to equip. I had to look up how to equip different like guns, like instead of just the one I picked up. Like you have to go into the pause menu, and then you go to inventory, and then you go to guns, and then you hover over the gun you want, and then there's a favorite button. And once you push favorite, then you can assign it to up, down, left, right, whatever. I forgot what I was saying before that. The positives, I will say, I've been on the moon, which looked awesome. You go to a city on Mars, which looked awesome. You go to Venus.
Go to Earth at all?
Earth. So the story about this is like something happened a while ago that we were losing our atmosphere. I don't know what that means, but we were losing the atmosphere, and they calculated that we had 50 years to get everybody off of the Earth that we could. And they said the Earth is now a dust ball. I don't know if you can land on it or anything, but it's basically uninhabitable.
Okay.
Being on the planets or on the moon is cool. It looks great because it's just like, it's nothing like we've never been on the moon. We, meaning you and I, meaning normal people, we've never been on the moon. Obviously, we've never been on Mars. And it's so cool to walk around there and to see it, you know, with a settlement and stuff. However, before that, when I went to like the main planet where you go to like meet your first companion and get the main mission and all this stuff, oh my God, it looks, and I am not being an Xbox hater or anything, it definitely looks like a PS4 game. It almost looks like a PS3 game. Whenever you see something, especially it was when I went into third person, I was like, holy crap, this looks horrible. Like foliage and grass, like the textures in this game, it's horrible. Now, I know that doesn't make it a good game or a bad game. And when you've got the breadth and the depth of this game, you're going to sacrifice, but holy crap, it looks bad. Like it looks bad.
Now, how much of that do you think is playing on an S versus an X?
Or
you
I think saw, it
would be the same?
I saw a lot of people complaining on PC everything. Because I think it's just a sacrifice that you have to make when you're playing a Bethesda game, or when you're making a Bethesda Games game. That's just what it is, you know? And I don't know that I'm going to keep playing this game. I'm glad I tried it. The story is not hooking me so far. Basically, there's just this artifact thing that you find, and it hovers. And then there's other artifacts that they want you to go and find. And again, every time I talk to somebody, I'm like, this is just so unnerving. Talking to these people, I hate it. I like
is it worse than Zero Dawn?
I like Horizon better. Oh, but, you mean like the talking? The
facial animations and stuff. Yeah.
It's different. If you just look up a cutscene, just look up like a playthrough and just go to like an hour in and you're talking to, or just look up Starfield Sarah conversation or something. She's like the first main person that you meet. It is just, it's different. Whereas like Horizon Zero Dawn in that department, it was pretty bad. This is bad too. They're different levels of bad. I can't really explain it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, all right, Starfield, whatever, it's fine. But the load screens give you the freedom to stuff the cockpit with hundreds of items for TikTok, YouTube clicks. Exactly. And then you can just like, I saw somebody spawned like a million milk jugs or something and dropped it over like an arena and to show the physics and stuff. And it's cool, but I just don't care. But then I was like, okay, this game's not clicking for me. I'm glad I didn't have to spend $70 on it. Oh, well, but first I should say, so Starfield, Bethesda announced, let me see here. They hit 6 million players, which is Bethesda's biggest launch game ever. To me, that's not a good number. It's weird to say that about 6 million. I mean,
when you've got however many million...
that's what I'm saying. You have...
Game Pass subscribers? Like
25 million Game Pass or 30 million, whatever, 35 million, whatever it is. And this is your big game. And you
tens
only
of
get
millions of people that can play it
for and it's
free,
on PC
for no additional
and
cost.
On Game Pass, like,
yeah,
God of War Ragnarok, I think it was in the first week or so, sold 5.1 million copies. Now that's on PS5 and PS4. The majority of those were on PS5, but even call it an average of $65 times 5 million is a lot of money. And those are people that had to invest in the game, put out the $70 or the $60. And I don't think that's something that they should really be. It's cool that it's the biggest Bethesda launch ever. Good for them. I don't understand why only 6 million people have played this game, I guess is what it's coming down to. So maybe it's not going to have this huge bump in Game Pass numbers like I assumed it was going to. I don't know, man. It's not for me. It's not for me. So I think I'm probably done with it. But then I was like, well, I've got this thing down here. I was like, should I try Dead Cells? Maybe I'll go back to whatchamacallit. What's it called? Chained Echoes. And I was like, oh no, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to download finally Gears of War Ultimate Edition. And the first one. I've said forever I want to play through all five Gears games. There's Starfield over here, and on like the level of like Kevin games, Starfield is like here. Gears of War is off the charts. This game is my shit so much. It is so, it's the first game, but it's the remastered edition that came out in like 2015 or 16 or something. It's so much fun. You can tell it's an old game because it's a cover-based shooter. Every room you walk in, it's like, here's these concrete barriers and you can go there. And then you go, brr, brr, brr. But it's just like straight up like testosterone, stupid third person cover-based shooter. And it's awesome. And I would much rather play this than Starfield. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I haven't played it much. I think there's five acts. I'm still in act one. I probably played it for an hour and a half. I'm not sure. I love this game, even playing it for just an hour or so. It's so much fun. It's the only series. I mean, Halo, I've only played the first game and I played some of Infinite, but I never beat it. I would kind of like to at least play 2 and 3 to at least get through the good part of the story and then just skip 4 and 5 and be done with it. But it's always been Gears of War that I'm like, that's my biggest miss in my, or my biggest regret, I guess, in my backlog is that I never played those. And now I'm not saying I'm going to get all through all five before Spider-Man comes out or something crazy like that, but I want to see this through. It's so much fun. It's just dumb third person shooter, cover based fun. And it's awesome. I can already say that an hour in, it's awesome. This game was made for me. I love it. Gears of War rocks. That's what I've been playing. And I put GOW there because I was like, maybe Sean will think I went back to Ragnarok because I was just bored.
I mean, that was my first thought. I'm like, playing God of War again? And I was like, no, I know what he's talking about.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I figured it out. But no, my first instinct was God of War. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Right. I tried to keep it a secret, but oh well. But that's it for what we've been playing. Sean, you want to go ahead and get to the news of the week?
Let's do it.
All right. So we got some news that's actually worthwhile to talk about, which doesn't happen a lot here recently. So I'm happy about this. This comes from Eurogamer. In Cologne last month, Nintendo's public Gamescom show floor booth let you play Pikmin 4 and Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. But behind the scenes, why would they have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe? Wait a minute. What? Why? Who hasn't played Mario Kart 8 Deluxe? This game came out like 8 years ago. What the hell?
No idea.
But behind the scenes, the company had more up its sleeves. Developer presentations for Switch 2 took place behind closed doors, Eurogamer understands, with partners shown tech demos of how well the system is designed to run. One Switch 2 demo is a souped-up version of Switch launch title Zelda Breath of the Wild, designed to hit the Switch 2's beefier target specs. To be clear, this is just a tech demo. There's no suggestion that the game will be re-released. Even if I get a Switch 2 and they re-release it, I ain't getting it. Now, if you re-release Tears of the Kingdom, maybe. But that would be a really Nintendo thing to do, to re-release a game a year later, sell it for $70 just to get 60 frames a second. Nintendo is yet to publicly discuss plans for its inevitable Switch successor, though its new hardware is widely expected to launch at some point in 2024. Word that it is now being shown to external developers comes as details have begun to emerge. Yeah. Around when we may see the system launch. A recent report pinned Switch 2's arrival for the latter part of next year, with development kits now in the hands of some key partners. This chimed. Wow, British people are awesome. This chimed with what Eurogamer had previously heard. Though on timing, I understand Nintendo is keen to launch the system sooner if possible. Publicly, Nintendo has announced a strong lineup of games to see the current Switch through the rest of 2023 and into the start of next year, with the impressive-looking Super Mario Bros. Wonder, a Super Mario RPG remake, and a new WarioWare, all coming this side of Christmas. 2024 will bring a new Princess Peach game and a port of Luigi's Mansion 2. The long-awaited Metroid Prime 4, meanwhile, still holds a TBA launch date. Nintendo did not comment when approached for a response, shockingly. I'm just glad, like, this gets me excited. you know.
I'm excited because I want to hear about it, but I don't think I'm going to get it. Like, I'm not nearly as excited as I was for the Switch, because as of right now, and I know it's not literally, I mean, maybe they'll call it the Switch 2, I don't know. But the Switch was revolutionary, and we knew it had to be because it was following up the Wii U.
Yeah.
The Switch has been a huge success, and so they're probably not going to change a whole lot. And even if it's not literally called the Switch 2, it's pretty much the Switch 2. And I, like I said, we've said it many times on here. We pretty much, the Switch is like a first party machine. We play Mario on it. We play Zelda on it. We play Metroid. That's about it. This is not going to be a day one for me, unless there's a day one must have title coming with it that is a Switch 2 exclusive.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm looking forward to hearing about it because that's always fun, and speculating on what it's going to be. Like, I'm looking forward to that from like a podcasting, like a news perspective.
Exactly.
But I don't think I'm going to get it, at least not right away. I don't think. I mean, maybe it'll blow my mind. Right. I don't know. But if it's just basically a Switch Pro, I don't know. It all
depends on the software. So my question to you is, if they say Switch 2 is launching with Mario Odyssey 2, whatever it's going to be, and it's exclusive to the Switch 2, the Switch U, the Switch Pro, whatever, is that enough for you to jump in? Because we know it ain't going to be a Zelda game.
I don't know. It would depend. If it's literally Odyssey 2, I mean, Odyssey looked amazing, and I loved it at first, and then it fell off quick. I'm sure I would get excited for an Odyssey 2 or whatever the next, you know, 3D Mario game is. But I don't know. I don't know. And is it going to be just $300? Is it going to be $400?
It's going to be $400.
How much is it going to be? I'm not,
dude, the OLED regular Switch is $350 and it has not dropped in price. Like,
oh, okay.
It's going to be $400. I would be more excited if they announced Galaxy 3, I would say. I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's basically no chance of that happening, but you never know. Yeah, I'm excited to hear about this thing, to talk about it. The one thing I know that they cannot do, because the backlash would be insane, is to come out and say, to re-reveal Metroid Prime 4 and then say it's a Switch 2 exclusive. You promised people 6 years ago that this was coming to Switch.
I would hate it, but that is the type of game that would maybe make me get it.
Right. But can they really withstand that?
I don't know what you can do. If it's literally just a Switch, a more powerful Switch, I don't think I'm getting it. I'm like, I'm not. I don't know. If they like revamp the whole, you know, we're fine. We're on to a Switch 2 basically. And I feel like they've still only scratched the surface of like NES and SNES games available on the Switch. Yeah. Like, they have drugged their feet with that so bad. If they somehow, we're going back in time, like 6-7 years, because we talked about this with the Switch and we're saying, if they do like a virtual Netflix console thing where you just like all the games are available, you pay a subscription, but they're all available. Not here's a couple more games, here's a couple more games that you've never heard of. Like, mm-hmm. if they fix that, maybe. But if it's just a Switch with better graphics that you can play docked, you can play mobile, you can, I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't know. I don't know what it would take for me to buy this thing, at least on day one, but I think it's going to take more than I can realistically expect them to offer with it. And that sucks, but that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, for the original Switch, we had Breath of the Wild, and no matter what we think about it now, that was one of the games that's probably our most hyped games of all time for both of us, I would guess. We had to have it day one. there's nothing, even if it's Prime 4, if they do that, I'm going to want to play it, but I'm not going to feel the need to. I mean, I only played Metroid Prime 1. I played the remaster finally.
You waited 20 years for that.
Yeah, and I walked away from it, so I can wait on the fourth one. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just glad we're finally starting.
Did you never beat Prime?
No, because something else came out, and I moved on to that. It was like Resident Evil.
Star Wars, I think.
It was Star Wars, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to hearing about it and speculating and all that stuff because it's fun. But I don't think I'm going to get it. Yeah. They would have to really come out of nowhere with some stuff that would make me buy this thing, especially for probably $400.
Yeah, it's going to be $400, I'm telling you. Well, hopefully now that it's, this is the wheels are starting to move. It is interesting that they say that they want to launch it before next fall. I'm like, are we really going to get another March release? I don't know.
I don't see that.
No, I don't either. But we'll see. All right, the last item on the news list, Sean. I think this just came out today that Embracer is looking to sell Gearbox, and this comes from Video Games Chronicle. Embracer Group is considering selling off Gearbox software, according to a new report. Reuters, via Market Screener, says the Swedish company is looking at options for the Borderlands studio. Oh, wait, no, it is Borderlands. Is it called Borderlands or the Borderlands? Now I don't know.
I think it's just Borderlands.
So they screwed this up. And do you see the word in the next line? For the Borderlands studio, and that a sale is one of those options. The publication cites, quote, three people familiar with the matter, end quote, speaking under, as they typed it here, anonymity. Yeah, that's what it says. Anonymity, not anonymity, who also reiterated that a sale is only being considered at this stage and may not happen. Update from Bloomberg. Or no, yeah, in an email viewed by Bloomberg, Gearbox chief communications officer, I don't know what that was, Dan Hewitt told staff that there were many possible outcomes after the studio was put up for sale. He wrote, "The base case is that Gearbox remains a part of Embracer. However, there are many options under consideration, including Gearbox's transfer, taking Gearbox independent, and others. Ultimately, we'll move ahead with whichever path is best for both Gearbox and Embracer," end quote. Two sources
claim... Does Gearbox do anything besides Borderlands?
They have...
Besides the Borderlands?
The Borderlands. Well, let's look it up. Let's see. Other than the Borderlands.
What's up, James? John says, "I might buy one if the Switch game cartridges are compatible with the new console. If this thing is totally backwards compatible and they have a thing where you can trade in your Switch and get a Switch 2 or whatever for like $200, like if I literally don't need my Switch anymore and you get a good trade in, like if I can do something like that, yeah, then sure, then I would entertain it. But if you just have to buy it outright, and especially if it's not backwards compatible, which would be stupid, but very Nintendo and Sony, then I'm out.
If it's not backwards compatible, they're screwed. Like, I don't know how you could actually do that. I just don't get it.
Well, plus I haven't bought a Switch game physical copy.
Yeah, I've moved to...
I don't know. I don't know what the last one was, but it's been a long time. So I would need, I would hope all those digital purchases I can carry over and play on Switch too. Like, that's the bare minimum. I would think you could do that. If I can trade in my Switch and get the Switch 2 for like $200. Okay, now I'm starting to entertain it, but I don't know.
So they did Aliens, Colonial Marines, the Borderlands series, Duke Nukem Forever, I guess. Battleborn. Do you remember Battleborn? That came out the same year as Overwatch.
Sounds familiar.
It flopped so bad. They did Homeworld. They did some Half-Life spinoff. So they did the port of Half-Life to PS2. They ported Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 to Windows. They ported Halo Combat Evolved to Windows. Wow. They did the Brothers in Arms series, Duke Nukem Forever, Borderlands, Homeworld, Battleborn. Tiny Tina, of course, New Tales from the Borderlands. They're Borderlands and not much else. So I don't know. And when I look at this, it says, at least according to Wikipedia, which anybody can edit, so you know you're getting the best information, around 1,300 employees. The good thing, though, is that no, and I don't need to read the rest of the article. The good thing is that it doesn't seem like they're talking about closing it down. It's more just they're going to either get their independence back or they're going to be sold to someone else. Obviously, the first thought would be Xbox. This will be the test. If they really are up for sale, is Xbox going to jump into another one so quickly? After how they had to, now this is a tiny, like it says here, their revenue is around
$185 million.
This is nothing. This is like a drop in the bucket. But after everything they just went through with Activision Blizzard King, will they just jump in and try to get another one? I don't know. I also don't even know if it's worth it. Is Borderlands that important? Like, I know Embracer is in a whole bunch of financial trouble, so they got to do what they got to do. This is why you don't buy 200 or whatever, you know, video game developers. It's just insane. But yeah, so Gearbox may be getting sold off. We shall see what happens there. And that's really all I got to say about that. I was talking normal and then I turned into Forrest. All right, Sean, now it is time for the wrap up. AG Aonuma has confirmed that there are no plans for DLC for Tears of the Kingdom, quote, because I feel like I've done everything I can to create games in that world. I get it. 2K owns Borderlands. Okay. Gearbox is a publisher. They publish Remnant 2. Okay. I believe it. With as good as that game is, and as crazy as that game is, I get it. And the way the story wraps up and everything, I would like DLC, but I didn't really expect it. Also, again, that being said, I'm not a very big DLC person. I buy them, I never beat them. So it's probably good that it's not getting DLC, for me at least.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of few games that I probably would have actually been interested in DLC. And I mean, if it's coming from Aonuma, it's probably legit. I'm guessing there really is no DLC. That kind of sucks, but it also doesn't really need it. I don't know what else you can really do with that game.
Yeah. I don't know. Just start working on the next Zelda. I can't wait to see. We're going to get another top-down Zelda. Hopefully they do remakes of Seasons and Ages. Oh, did you ever end up beating that?
No, I haven't played it in...
like a month or something.
I don't know, a month or so now, yeah.
Next, Castlevania Nocturne got a full trailer before it is released on September 28th. Did you watch this?
No, this is a new one. I didn't see it.
Yeah,
no.
Different from the teaser. It's weird. It doesn't seem like I'm not going to spoil it. With how the other series went, with this being later in the timeline, I guess it makes sense that I didn't see Dracula in this. But it's also kind of weird. Like, the big bad in this looks like it's not Dracula. I don't know the story of Rondo of Blood, but like, I assume Alucard's going to pop up. He's not in the trailer. I don't know. But does he pop up if there's no Dracula? Like, I don't know. The one thing I didn't like about this trailer, whoever's doing the voice for Richter, I am not a fan. Something does not sound right. Trevor's voice, all the voices, like if you look at Sypha or Trevor or Alucard, they were cast perfectly, wouldn't you say? Like, it looks like that's how that character should talk.
It was perfect. Yeah, spot on.
I'm still excited to watch this. I can't imagine it's going to be as good as the first series. Hopefully it does well so we don't just get one season, but we'll see. The Entertainment Software Association has parted ways with ReedPop after E3 did not happen this year. They said if E3 does happen next year, it won't be at the LA Convention Center. And right now they're just planning a reinvention for 2025. Sean, are you excited for another reinvention of E3 to happen?
No, they'll just let it die.
It ain't happening. It's dead.
It doesn't need to happen anymore.
No.
We've evolved.
Also, right after this news broke, Jeff Keighley tweeted out, Summer Game Fest is coming June 2024. We need to remember to keep our hype in check for that one, because we got way too hyped for it this year. So we'll see. Roblox is finally coming to PlayStation, and it's also coming to MetaQuest in October. I'm glad Casey has his own account on my PlayStation now, so if he gets this and plays this, it's not going to screw up my time played at the end of the year. I'm so glad I finally did that, but it's a big deal. I can't believe it's only been on Xbox. That's just crazy to me, as big as stupid Roblox is. XDefiant, the multiplayer shooter from Ubisoft, failed certification with Xbox and PlayStation. Because of that, it's been delayed to October. Now, everything I've heard is that certification with Xbox and PlayStation is like the bare minimum. Basically, what I think they said is that there's not like game issues, but there's some kind of bugs on the back end or something that caused it to fail certification. I feel like this game is DOA, and the fact that it's failing certification is like, wow.
Yeah, it's not a good start.
Yeah, so good luck with that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem is getting a game from Outright Games coming out next year. I have never heard of Outright Games. Have you?
It does not sound familiar.
Let me see if I can look them up, see what they've made. Outright Games. Let's see. Video game publisher. British video game publisher. Founded in 2016. Company philosophy. They've published Ben 10 in 2017. Hotel Transylvania 3. Paw Patrol on a Roll. Ugly Dolls. Ice Age. Oh my God, this does not look good.
Did they do Peppa Pig?
What year did Peppa Pig? My friend Peppa Pig!
Did they?
In 2021. Let's see if they did the new one. Nice. I assume they did the new one.
Okay. I'm not getting too excited for this.
No. Game. They did Bluey the video game.
There's a Bluey video game?
Apparently. I wonder. Yeah, Peppa Pig World Adventures. I wonder if Bluey has a platinum Bluey the video game trophies. Let's just look this up. Bluey the video game. I can't even find trophies for it. Oh, it's not out yet. Okay. It's still in development. Well, I can't wait for that. It's coming sometime this year. Hilarious. Okay, so I have no hopes for this game, but at least it's another Ninja Turtles game, but I'm guessing it's probably gonna suck. It does take place months after the movie, after the end of the movie, which actually gives me hope for something cool that might be in there, but I doubt it, because I assume they're going to save that for the second movie. Todd Howard talked about Indiana Jones being developed by Machine Games, and he said, we'll talk next year. I don't remember when this game was announced, but it's definitely been a while.
Seems like a while ago.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Anybody that's holding out hope also that game is going to come out on PlayStation, you're dumb. It's not going to.
That is not going to happen.
That's a weird bird sound. Did you hear that?
No.
That squeaking? That was a weird sound. It was definitely flying, so it's not like Smokey killed something. Yeah, and also, we're going to get a new Uncharted game. We're just waiting for it to be announced. It's coming. Everybody, you don't need Indiana Jones. It's fine. iPhone 15 was announced today. The iPhone 15 Pro is getting Resident Evil Village, Resident Evil 4 Remake, and Assassin's Creed Mirage. I don't know who would want to play these games on their phone, but I guess it's cool that the phone is powerful enough to play them. Like, I don't know. I guess it's cool.
It's more powerful than the Switch.
It actually, yeah. unless these games are streaming. I don't know. Oh, that's sad. Garrett Wilson said Aaron Rodgers told him, I'm sorry, kid. Oh, that's so sad. Jedi Survivor got its seventh patch, which has supposedly completely reworked performance mode on console. This almost makes me want to go back and play it, although I just deleted it because I saw it made me remember that it's 150 gigs. I don't need that platinum. I'm done with it. I really, really liked that game. I don't need to go back for it. Stray is getting an animated movie from Annapurna Animation. That game is basically like, it's like playing a movie. So I think it would work perfectly.
Yeah, that should be a movie. That's I'm really excited about that.
And the cat is so cute. Horizon Forbidden West has been Horizon Forbidden West Complete Edition has been raided in Singapore. So obviously they're going to re-release this, include the Burning Shores DLC, try to sell it again. I cannot wait for them to announce the Horizon Zero Dawn remake. A remake of a six-year-old game. I cannot wait for it to happen. I really hope they're not actually doing that. Final Fantasy, the Pixel remasters have now hit 3 million copies sold. That's awesome. Gotham Knights has been rated for Switch. There's also rumors of another Nintendo Direct happening this week, I think. But since we didn't hear anything today, I don't know. Maybe. When they announce a Direct, is it the day before or is it 2 days before? I can't remember.
I guess they could do it the day before, but I don't know. I also don't think they're usually on Fridays, so.
No, it would be Thursday for sure, yeah.
Maybe Thursday, yeah.
Picross S Plus has announced for Switch, bringing 9 of the Picross 3D games to the platform. This is good because, again, the 3DS store is shut down. People love Picross. Now you can play those games. Gargoyles Remastered, a remastered port of the old Genesis game, is coming out October 19th. I didn't realize this game only came out on Genesis. I thought it came out on Super Nintendo also. Do you remember it?
Vaguely, but yeah, I would have assumed it was on Super Nintendo also.
So that's cool. And I think it's only like 15 or 20 bucks, so that's cool. Sean, do you remember Alone in the Dark?
I do.
Alone in the Dark was supposed to come out in October, but because October is just about the craziest month ever, they said, you know what? We're going to punt until January 16th, 2024. I'm sure that sucks for them.
It's punty.
It is punty. Punty was like, I'm sure that sucks for them because they're like, damn it. Alone in the Dark should come out the month of Halloween. I get it.
Yeah.
But you release it around Spider-Man and a new Mario and a
Death Sentence.
And Sonic, it's a death sentence. So it's a good idea that they're doing that. Oh, and Alan Wake 2 is also coming out in October. Assassin's Creed Mirage. There's a lot. October's insane. Skull and Bones has lost its third creative director, and there is still apparently no release date even internally. Do you know how much this pisses me off? Skull and Bones was announced, I think, 7 years ago. They will work on this stupid game for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But Phoenix Rising can't get a sequel. The amount of money they have dumped into this, like at this point, you should probably just say, cut your losses. Exactly. Like at some point you just got to abandon ship. And I hope that was as good a pun as I thought it was.
All right.
It was all right.
Yeah.
That's it. I got abandoned ship, Skull and Bones, pirate ships. Good.
I get it.
You're going to make me walk the plank here. Switch is getting a new bundle. It's the non-OLED bundle. That's a new
bundle.
A Mario bundle. It's a Mario Kart 8 bundle coming out October 6th. Same day as the Mario Wonder SWOLED, as Wario calls it. I don't know why they're putting out a non-OLED bundle with a seven-year-old game or 8 years old or so whatever. Stupid. Like,
oh my God.
I don't get it. Like, more than half the people that own a Switch own this game. Just stop already. Give us Mario Kart 9. It's never going to happen. And the last item here, Switch Online updates. Kirby Star Stacker, Quest for Camelot, Downtown Naketsu March, Super Awesome Field Day, and Joy Mecha Fight. That's one game. Downtown Naketsu March, Super Awesome Field Day, And then also Joy Mech Fight are coming. Apparently, three of these games have never been released in the West nor translated for English. So that's cool. But again, to Sean's point earlier, like, have they released every good game? Like, is that just what it comes down to?
Yes.
Or games that they can release, I guess. Because, like, we can't
get... Yeah, I guess maybe...
We can't get Turtles in Time.
Clown on them, Manhattan but Project. Maybe it's the only ones that are left are things that they...
They can't get the licenses. Can't
actually
to.
Do. I don't know. But.
Yeah. But yeah. So that is it for this episode of the Two Player Co-op Podcast. Thank y'all so much for being here for episode 334. Until the next time, Sean, go ahead and take us out.
Thank you for playing.